Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text chosen for consideration this afternoon is recorded in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Christ Jesus, our precious Savior, the risen and ascended Lord, beloved friends, honored guests who receive an honorary degree, the administration, the president, board of control of this seminary, the faculty, and in particular, candidates for the holy ministry who today, after this service, go out to follow the calls which you received earlier. It is indeed fitting that a great seminary such as this one should look upon the deeds of men who have stood the heat of the day and who have labored long, to recognize them as they do this day and give well-deserved honorary degrees to the men who are before you, whose names you can see on the service folder, and who have been selected for this special honor. It is like looking upon the deeds of the past so that the deeds of the future might be appreciated. It's like looking upon years that have gone by so that from these years we might select all kinds of experiences to recognize them so that we might appreciate the opportunities which shall fall upon the experience and into the lives of these men who go out to assume their tasks in the special service as ministers for God's people. As we appreciate the past and congratulate the men who have been chosen as examples from the past, we look to the future and congratulate the men who will assume the tasks for the future as their contemporaries still active from the past will and have done, and will look to opportunities to bring the gospel to ever so many places where perhaps the gospel has never been heard in all these years. It is fitting that the church should provide for itself institutions of learning for ministerial training so that men might be prepared for the great and wonderful work of proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We do very especially center our attention upon the words of the text and select from this word a sentence which is to give emphasis to what is being said here and done here this afternoon. Out of the words of the text comes the encouragement to proclaim the wonderful works of God. This is the thought I would like to leave with you this afternoon as you are assembled here for this final service as students of Concordia Seminary, Springfield, Illinois. proclaiming the wonderful works of God, is a more modern translation of the words of the text which say, in the words of the King James Version, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The men who are sitting on this stage have experienced the privilege of proclaiming the wonderful works of God and have experienced the wonderful things that come into the lives of those who do faithfully proclaim the wonderful works of God. I would counsel you to look to the examples that are sitting before you so that you might out of their experience take your encouragement. When days seem to be dark but are not really so, and when conditions seem to be against you but are not really so, so that you may go forth strong in the Lord, proclaiming his wonderful works. There will be days, I can assure you, when you wonder, some of you, why you left the comfortable position in which you were before you came to this school for ministerial training. You will wonder why you didn't stay in the security of a secular calling and in the security of that particular work where you would sort of govern your own destinies under God. But let these all pass as things pass in the night, and be reminded of this wonderful comforting word of God which says that all things happen for good together to them that love God. You are embarking upon a series of years, I hope a long series, in which you will have the privilege of proclaiming the wonderful word about which God says that it shall not return void, but it shall do that which he pleases and shall accomplish that whereunto he sent it. Let me dwell for a few moments upon the context of these words which were chosen as the text. They come out of a letter which the Apostle Peter wrote to people who were scattered all over the world. And I don't want to spend time upon trying to decide here, because we probably never will anyway, whether this letter was sent to people who had already been persecuted and who were scattered abroad, or to people who might yet experience this persecution. Whatever the situation was, the Apostle Peter wrote to these people and wrote them a comforting, reassuring message. For if the thought had come or would come to them, did we follow the right way? Should we perhaps have stayed on the old way? Should we have followed this new way? The Apostle Peter said, you should follow it. You are God's very own. For I want to assure you that we can rest securely upon this word, and I hope you gain the reassurance this afternoon that as I speak to you upon and concerning this word of the text as a word that is given by God, by inspiration, that it is a word which makes no mistake and can't, and that is a word that comes out of the sure wisdom and counsel of God, which will stand you a good stead as long as you perform the works God wants you to perform. Holy and indestructible is this word of God. Precious in his sight it is too. And though heaven and earth pass away someday, as it surely will, this word shall not pass away. Nor will any of the words of God pass away. They will endure throughout all eternity. And when eternity comes into your and my experience, we will then experience that this word was sure, as we know it to be now, and that indeed it endured beyond this present time and life. The Lord tells you something about yourselves. The Lord tells you, as he did the people who were scattered abroad, that you are God's chosen people. Have you ever asked yourself, until this time, whether you have probably chosen the right way? Whether perhaps you should have chosen some other way? I suppose our honored guests could give you the answer. But the answer from God's word is more sure, because it is eternal, and the answer comes from His word in this way. You are my chosen people. You are the chosen ones of God. You are His selecting. You are His picking. You of all people have been selected to be what you are, and have been selected to do what you are about to begin to do. You are a chosen generation. Not chosen because of who you are, what you are, what God may have seen in you, or the behavior which was your natural way. All of this falls by the wayside, for God, according to His own purpose and His own will, chose you first to be His own, to be His children. Then He chose you and selected you for the task that you are about to begin. You are a chosen people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You belong to the family of kings, to a family in whose veins courses royal blood, because you are the king's children. You are the king's brothers. You are the king's assistants. You belong to the king. You are a royal priesthood who are to perform the tasks God sent you to do, the tasks which your Redeemer selected for you. The men of the faculty and of the administration here put forth all of their efforts in order that you might be equipped to say to other people that they are the chosen people of God, and that they are the royal priesthood, and that they are a holy nation as you are, holy people. If you resorted to your natural mind and to your natural inclinations, you would question a statement that I made earlier, namely that this word cannot fail, that it can make no mistake, that this word is sure and true and eternal. A holy people indeed? A holy nation? Aren't you sinful as the rest of us are? Do not you fail every day as the rest of us do? How then can you be declared to be a holy generation? A holy people? Once again, by the grace of God and through the merits of Jesus Christ, who offered Himself, though He was equal with God, He didn't think that this was everything to be desired, to be equal with God, but He emptied Himself, made Himself of no reputation, took on Him the form of a servant, was found in fashion as a man, and found in this fashion He humbled Himself and became obedient, obedient unto the death upon the cross. And it was due to this work of the Lord Jesus that there came into our experience a holiness which is ours only by the grace of God. I am here reminded of a wonderful portion of Scripture which you no doubt remember to your and for your comfort. Justified by faith, we are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access into this grace wherein we stand and live in the hope of the glory of God. Justified, declared righteous, declared guiltless, without any wrongs, without any debt. That's how we are. God declared us righteous because of the work His Son did for us. You are God's holy people, and through the work of His Son Jesus, you are God's very own. A peculiar people, the King James Version says. The Revised Standard Version says you're God's own people. And there is no difference. You are a people that are peculiar to the Lord's ownership. You belong to Him by creation, by redemption, by sanctification. You are the Lord's. And if you will look to the second verse of the first chapter of this letter, you will find put into one brief sentence all that anybody can say about how we got to be who we are. Chosen of God the Father, sanctified by the Spirit, unto obedience by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we got to be who we are. This is how we came to be God's own people. This is how God brought us to Himself and brought us back over that long, treacherous road that no man could traverse. Back over this gaping abyss over which no man could pass. God brought us back. We are His very own. And I would emphasize for you in this final service here, dedicated to your candidacy for the holy ministry, that you were chosen and selected to be God's people for a specific purpose, namely that you should proclaim the wonderful works of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are dedicated to this kind of task, to proclaim the wonderful works of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, to proclaim to others that very thing which came to you through somebody's effort, through somebody's preaching, through somebody's teaching, and by somebody's praying. You came to be who you are, and you will now go out to proclaim these wonderful works to others. And if ever you think that you might need to proclaim a different kind of message so that the people would be more interested, say to this thought as Jesus did to Peter one day, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me." For it's an offensive thought that we should bring something new. It's an offensive satanic thought that we should ever bring a message that is different than the simple message that says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their iniquities unto them. It would be satanic to try to bring any message other than this, that we are justified by faith. Other than this, that Jesus is the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So proclaim the wonderful works of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And somehow, some way, let the word shine clearly through every message that you bring as a pastor of a people, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And all through this discourse, you're hearing nothing new. But you're hearing the one thing that gives strength and reassurance, and that gives power for the task to which we are dedicated. The one and only message that can bring any help for this disturbed world. And if you go into the inner city, my friend, remember first of all that the message of the gospel of Jesus is that which you have come to proclaim. And then let this message be accompanied by the kind of deeds which will show these people that you mean what you say. And if you, my friends, are called into rich suburbia, remember that the powerful and the rich can live by no other message than that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And if you go to those who are in between, and whether you go to the city or to rural areas, remember that there is no message which can help people at all, really, for now and forever, save that one message which says that Jesus Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, it's a wonderful task you're about to undertake. You're undertaking it at a time when there is discord and disharmony all over the world. During a time when this Spirit has struck our own beloved land, and you are to stand out in your communities, strong and stalwart. And remember that the people will finally come to you, and you will feel many times that you yourself have no one to whom to go, and that your task becomes exceedingly lonely when you give the only kind of guidance that really helps to the people in need, and when you yourself feel it. Seek out a brother pastor, converse with him, and get from him the word of assurance. And where this is not possible, rely upon this, that the word which a brother pastor would give you is the word that comes directly to you from on high and gives you whatever strength you need for the time. And as angels came to serve their Creator, so they will serve you, the creation. God in his mercy and kindness attend you, and attend all of us, so that from day to day we may bring the message to our neighbors, to our friends and relatives, to those associated with us in business, to those living in our community, so that more and more people may learn to know that they are in this world for a purpose, and this purpose is to serve God, to serve him through serving our fellow men. May God in his grace come, be, and remain with us all for now and forever. Amen. The peace of God that surpasseth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.